Begin the current daf and start this by Metzia daf Samach Tes. Begin 9 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, our Mishnah introduced the struggle that one encounters when there's the operation called an iska. An iska, you run into the problems of ribis because what happens is that there's somebody who has money but doesn't want to do the work. If somebody wants to do the work but doesn't have the money, so they get together. And the one who has the money provides the money, and the guy does the work, and then they split the profits 50-50. Now that itself could be a problem, because here he's lending money, and he's getting back more than what he gave. But that, as the Gemara later on, Daf Kavdal will explain, is not problematic, because the way we view it is as a half of a milva, and half it as a bekadin, meaning half the money is loaned to the worker, and he makes profits, half the profits, from the money that was lent him, and he only gives that money back. The other 50% was always as a deposit, and that's the 50% that he gets the profits from his own money. So he's not getting any profits from the money that he lent. But the problem that we encounter, which is what was discussed in previous stuff, what our Gemara continues in this stuff, is that ultimately the worker is doing work for the guy who lent him money. Which work is he doing for him? On the 50% that is his money. 50% that it's the loan money that he's working for himself. The other 50%, he's working for him. That tircha, that effort, that work is gratis, is a favor, is giving back to the lender more than what he gave him. That's a problem about ribis. So therefore, we have to then find a way to compensate the worker for that work that he's doing so that it's considered a paid service and not that it's considered ribis, that is if the lender is getting interest, the financer, the one who gives the money, is getting more than what he gave in regards to the loan. So on that topic, the Gemara continues, Omar Rav. Rav continues on this discussion. If somebody assessed a calf to the worker with what's called an iska, where if they'll split half the profits, half the losses, but it's, which is problematic, as we said, because regard to the work. So he tells him, but what will be brought, meisar shlish, the profits that will come in more than a third of its current value, you could take bischarcha for the pay for the work that you're doing in my share, and then the rest will be split evenly. Says Rav, Hareza Mutter. So that's permitted because the worker accepted upon himself for the payment for his work that he does for the owner a situation of doubt. We don't know if it's going to make more than a third. But if it does, then that's what he's going to take for his payment. So even if it doesn't reach more than a third, but that was his option, that was his prerogative, he took that as payment for his work, and if it does get more than a third, he's going to get all the profit. That is valid, says Rav, for the payment of the worker to ameliorate the problem of ribis. Now, Shmuel Amr, he says, but what he said? Loi matzah meisah shlish. Shmuel asks, he says, and let's say it doesn't end up having a profit more than a third. Yelich lebeisah reken, so the worker's going to go home empty-handed. Then you run into the problem about ribis again, because he's doing work for the owner without being compensated for that. Elam Shmuel, rather Shmuel says, he disagrees with Rav, he says, koitzes loi dinner. He has to set aside from at least a dinner, at least in this situation where, okay, it's better maybe than having to pay keschar kepoil batel, because he is having an element of possibly getting paid when it's more than a third. But if it doesn't reach more than a third, then it's problematic. So you also have to give him, set aside a dinner, a coin, so that he definitely is taking something for the work that he does for the owner that is not ribis. Now on this, the Gemara asks, V'sav Rav ain't koitzen loy dinner? Rav would disagree with this. Shmuel holds that you don't have to prearrange a payment of at least a dinner for the work that he does for the owner. But Vama Rav said, Reish Egla Lepituma. Definitely sound like he's addressing a unique type of a case like we're discussing over here, where he said that the one who does the work will receive, the besides half the profits, he's going to take also in other words, he was fattening up an animal to go ahead and sell it at a higher price to split it. So Rav said that he's going to take the head totally for himself, and that's to compensate him for the work and for the food that he has to do, and then the rest will be split equally. So ask the Gemara, my lav de amalei, isn't it what Rav's talking about, is that meisah shlish b'scharcha? Meaning even in the case that we just discussed when he says that, okay, fine, we're going to split everything equally, which is a problem about ribis, but more than a third, you'll get all the profits. And still Rav was saying that, no, the problem is because if it's not going to be a third, then he's going to have to take the head of the calf. Well, that sounds like Shmuel, that you have to give something, not like the way we just quoted Rav before that said that, no, you can give him that option, even if it doesn't make more than a third, that he took for his compensation. Why here does Rav say that you have to additionally give him the head of the calf? So that the Gemara says, Loi, no, wasn't talking about that case. The Kamale was talking about where he said to him, either take whatever's beyond the third, all the profits will be yours, that will be your pay for the work that you're doing, or take the head of the calf for yourself, and that will be your payment for the work that you're doing, but you don't need both. And therefore, Rav is not contradicting himself, where it could be either one or the other. Or if you want, you could say that when did he say, as we previously quoted, that if you just give him the option of taking up till a third, we're going to split equally, but beyond that, all that is going to be yours, even though, as we asked, sometimes it's not going to be more than a third, is when additionally, the worker has his own animal. Now, in such a situation, it would be enough to give him what possibly might be more than a third. Because Dami Inchi, people say, Gavolotura, Gavoloture. If someone has to need the food for one ox, he could do it for all the oxen. In other words, he anyways has to put in the effort for his own animals, and therefore, since he's doing it, it's not really considered more of an effort and exertion and work that he's doing for the owner. Therefore, that's what Rav said. In such a case where, okay, you're doing something, but really, you're really doing all the work anyway, it doesn't really make a difference if there's one ox or two oxen eating. So therefore, that's where it's enough to give that option of more than a third, even though it might not be more than a third, but it's not really so much of a work. Therefore, that type of an option is good in such a case. And therefore, again, that's why it doesn't contradict the other halacha of Rav, which says that generally you do have to give something besides being more than the third. Now, Gemara brings a story related to this halacha that Rabbi Lazim HaGrunya, Zavim Behema, he purchased an animal, and he gave it to his sharecropper, and the guy who works for him, his worker guy, where he said, okay, you know what, I bought this, and we'll go 50-50. If you'll do all the work, and if we'll split the profits, or we'll split the losses. So, mefatimle, he went and he fattened up the animal. So then he gave the head of the calf of the animal to his worker for his pay. And he also gave him half the profits. In other words, as we said, you can't just do 50-50. That's the problem you run into Iska, because the worker, besides working for his half, is working for the owner's half, which is Rabbi Lazar ben Agrinya. So additionally, besides that, as we said before, in the halach of Rav, he gave him the head of the calf, which compensates him for the work that he does. Now, the story continues. Amalei the baser, so the sharecropper's wife told him, look, imishtatves bahadei, had you given also half of the capital of the principal, and you would have been a partner with Rabbi Lazar ben Agrinya with the purchasing of the animal, here you just worked for him. If you would have also been given part of the money, then yavloch namealisa, besides giving you the head of the animal for you yourself to take, besides that he split a 50-50 with you, if you would have given him money too, he probably would have given the tail that should also be totally yours. So, Azal Zavim Bahadei, so next time they had an opportunity, not just working for him, he also chipped in, he also gave money towards the purchasing of the animal. Now, when it came time after that they fattened it up, and it came time to sell and split the profits, so Polyglaze Rabbi Lazar split with him Alisa. He didn't give him the whole tail. He split with him the tail. Now, Amalei Morva, Rabbi Lazar said to him, Ta Niflagila Resha, let's go and split the head. So Amalei, so the sharecropper said to him, I don't understand. Now I don't even get like I got the first time. In other words, now by the first time I didn't even give money, I just did work for you and you gave me the whole head. Now not only are you not giving me the whole tail, you're not even giving me the whole head. You want me to go ahead and split the head with you? So Malayas Rabbi Lazar Magrini explained to him, he says, you understand. Up until now, the money was always mine. And therefore, when you accepted upon yourself to take half the loss, as we explained in the previous daf, that means to say because you took upon yourself, half of it should be like a loan for you. And the other half was like a pekud, and that's how we end up splitting the profits. That's how it works. Now, Eloi, hava you have nilach tfei porta, says Rabbi Lazar, had I not given you a little bit something extra, meaning giving you the head of the animal, then it would come out that the work that you did for the other half, for my half, which is the half of the pekud, would have been because of the half of the loan that I gave you. You're doing me a favor, which is a prohibition of interest on my half, Mechzik Ribbis, that gives the appearance of interest. Now, therefore, I had to give you something. Now, we're partners. There's no loan over here. My comment, what are you going to say? So therefore, since we're partners, there's no problem about me getting something that you're doing for me. But what are you going to say? You're going to tell me what I worked a little bit more. I went and brought it and I came and I went and I sold it. Now, because as Rashi points out, it's only regarding the work that he could have a claim. Because in regards to the bran or the barley that has to be used for the animal fodder, well, that actually is purchased equally from both of their monies as any partners is. But one thing that he could have a claim is that he worked more. So why are we splitting just 50-50? I definitely should get something a little bit more. And that says Rabbi Elazar, no, Amri Inchi, people say, Stam Arisa, general sharecropper, which is what you are to me, Lamari Aro Kumishabat Navshi. He indebts himself, he works a little bit extra for the owner of the land, meaning that's usually sharecropper with land, here it's with an animal, that Lesu Lay Raya, that he goes and he brings the animal to places that he could, of pasture, that he could graze. In other words, that the owner shouldn't have to go to the marketplace and pay a lot of money for animal food. In other words, that it's incumbent upon the Arisa to push himself and work a little bit more than the owner that's taking him to work for him. And therefore, yes, although you did all the legwork, but that makes sense. You shouldn't get compensated any more than me who has the money and brought you in as a partner. So therefore, you have no complaints, and therefore, we split everything equally. In contrast to previously, actually I had to give you something that was only because since you didn't invest any money, and yet you were taking responsibility for half of it, must have been because we consider it as a loan, and if it's a loan, then if I wouldn't give you something, it would be a problem of ribbis. Another Gemara continues a related discussion, also related to the topic of our Mishnah, regarding when someone goes and takes this type of work and for someone else to bring up his animal, and then they split it, how long is that considered that operation for, that he has to hold on to it before they go ahead and split it, which is the objective of over here, to fatten it, to let it get older and bigger and stronger, and then sell it for a profit. So turn upon Lina Braisa. Hashem behemel chaver, again, which is this topic of an iska, someone that assesses an animal to his friend, and then he gives it over to the friend to do the work, and then they go ahead and they go 50-50. How long does the work have to hold on to it before he's allowed to go ahead and say, okay, let's go ahead and split it already. I didn't have any money. You had all the money. But now I did all the work. Let's go ahead and split it. So some chazam, he says, by donkeys, he has to wait at least 18 months. But gaidreis, which is a reference to small animals, and the reason why it's called gaidreis is from the pasuk about Midbar Lamed Beis, which is gidreis sain, which is from the word of geder, they're fenced in, these little sheep. It's v'chafta al chaydish, you have to hold on to it for 24 months. Now, but if the recipient, the one who's doing the work, comes lachlik b'teches mani to split it within that time frame, then chaver, his friend, meaning the owner of the animal, could be ma'akabal of, could hold him back from going ahead and splitting it because you have to wait that time period. Now, but says the b'raisa, aval ena daimati pula shoshana zu, but you can't compare the work that has to be done, taking care of the animal in its first year, to the amount of work that it takes in the second year, because actually the second year requires more effort, more food, because it's a bigger animal, than the first year. Now the Gemara asks, and the Girsa is, my avul de ka'amar, what is this that Bryce is saying, but? To the contrary, it's not but, it's all the more so. Because that, for sure, if the work in the second year is harder than the first year, for sure the owner could stop and say, whoa, what, we're going to split now? You did the easy part. The first year is the easy one. Second year is the harder, is the more effort, is the more investment. How can you back out now? That, why is that a but? That should be for sure, then that's why he wouldn't be able to back out, as we said, is the halacha, within the time frame. So El Rather says, the Gemara, you're right, this is what the Bryce was saying. It's not but, it's lefi she'ein nedema tipula shoshana zut, because you can't compare the work that he only did in the first year, le tipula shoshana acheres, to the amount of work that it requires in the second year, and since the custom was, from those that accept the iska, is that it's for that amount of time, so therefore his friend that gave him the animal could stop him and say, no, you can't back out yet, you got to work the full period, and only then are we going to split it. Continuing on this theme, Tan Idich, we learn another Bryce, huh? Hashem behemel chaver, if someone assesses an animal for his friend, for this iska, so again, admos lechayv letabel bevladis. But here, the question that this price discusses is how long does the worker have to hold on to the children that are born? In other words, that even the children that are born are also split 50-50, because that's the profit, that's one of the profits of an animal, not just selling the animal itself, but the children that it gets. Now, if the recipient comes to say, okay, I want to split it right away, meaning I don't want to work for your portion because we're splitting the children, so I'm not going to take anything from your part. So how long does he have to hold on to the child before he says, okay, take yours, I don't want to do any work for you. If it's something I would get profit, fine. But if not, how long does he have to hold on to the children? So says the Tanna Kamma, bedaka lamad yoim, by small animals, 30 days. Ubagasa nun yom, and by large animals, 50 days, which is just like how the Torah specified how long a person has to hold on to his firstborn animal, which is called the Bechayr, that the Yisrael has to hold on to it by the small animal 30 days and by the large animal 50 days, and only then could he give it to the Kain, as the Gemara teaches Masechet Bechayrus and Afchavavim based from Sukkim. That's the same thing over here. You got to hold on to it for that period of time. And only then can you make him take it back. Rabbi Yisem, he says, Bedaka Gimel Chadashim. He says, by a small animal for 3 months. And the reason is, because it takes a lot of work. So the Gemara is mighty pulimaru. But what does this mean? That it's a lot of work and therefore he has to hold on to it, can't give it back to the owner of the animal right away. He's the guy, he's the worker, he knows how to do it, he has to hold on to it. Says the Gemara, because the small animals, when they're young, their teeth are very thin, very small, and they need their mother, and for the person that's accustomed to doing this type of work, the owner says, I don't know anything about this stuff. Hey, when it's big, I could just give it some food. You know how to take care of it. You got to hold on to it for 3 months. Now, continues the Brisam, Mikam ve'elach. So after that period of time, that the custom is to hold on to the animals, the small children, then noital, then actually the recipient, if let's say the owner doesn't take it back yet, let's say after the 30 days or the 50 days or the 3 months, then the recipient takes machtze shaloi. So he takes, first of all, from the children, he takes the complete, his half, because as we said, half is split between him and the owner of the animals. Now additionally, he also takes b'chatzi mechtze b'shal chaveri, and he also takes half of his friend's half. In other words, when his friend's half of the children are ready to be taken, if he doesn't take it, they evaluate the value of that child, and then how much it's worth by the time he finally takes it, a week or two or a month later, and then whatever the increase was, he takes half of that. Now, although seemingly that would run into the problem, and the reason for that is because that's actually like a new iska. He had an iska on the mother. The mother then had children, the children split. Now the half that's by the other person, that I have nothing to do with, but now I'm holding on to it because you didn't take it. So now it's like an iska. I'm going to do the work for it on fattening it, and until you take it, it's like an iska. Now, although we said that even that's a problem, because 50-50 itself is problematic, because although it's like an iska, but he's doing work for the other half too, and that says Rashi, here there is no need to pay for the work and for the food. Now, because although that the other half that he's taking liability, responsibility, which is his friend's half, but says Rashi, here it's different than the regular case of iska, because since he anyways has to work in this child for his own half, which is by him the principal, and it's not a loan, so when he's doing the work, even for the other half, it doesn't look like ribbis because he's feeding the animal because he's getting half the profits. It's in this animal that he has to feed it anyway. He's not doing anything different than he would do for his own half. Although, yes, incidentally, it's also feeding the other guy's half. But since it's the same animal, therefore, there's no problem of saying he's working for him as if it's ribbis, and if it doesn't have to be compensated more than just getting half and half, doesn't have to get also the work that he's doing for the other guy's half. Now, the Gemara brings a story related to this halacha that Rav Menashe bar Gada, shokol mechtze shaloi, b'chatzi mechtze b'shal chaveri. So this is what he did, exactly like the previous halacha. He took his half of the children, meaning he had an iska with the mother, the animal, and then there was children, where they split, that's the split the profits. And he also took half of the half of his friend, because his friend didn't take it he didn't take the animal, and then he was working on the animal now fattening up, meaning on the child, which was his friend's child. So now he took half of that too. So Asli Kamei Dabai, he came in from the Babai, and Amalei Abai said to him two things. He said, first of all, Man Paliglach, who split for you? In other words, who evaluated the animal that was born, the child that was supposed to be his half? And therefore, you split now his half, which therefore you're getting 3/4 of all the children. Maybe you didn't evaluate it well. Someone has to go ahead and assess it. Who assessed it for you? Moreover, the place that we're in is a place where the custom is that the worker does bring up the children of the owner's animal, meaning of his children, meaning of the animal's children that he gets his half. Now, it's now we learn the Mishnah Samach Tesam Abayz that tells us, I mean, on Amid Bez over here, that Malkum Shinogu Legadl Yagdilu. If the custom is to bring up the animals, then you have to bring up the children of, which are not even your half, which is from the owner's half, until they get big, and that he can't take any portion in his friend's part. So he said, first of all, who split it? And second of all, you're not supposed to take anything, because the custom here is, like those places that the worker does, even though he's not getting anything in those halves, is to do it and bring up the child, and therefore you're not allowed to take half of his half. Mar brings another incident. Hanu Tre Kutai. There were these two Jews that were from Kuta. The Avad Iska Behadi Adadi. That did an Iska between the two of them. I mean, there's one guy who finances, one guy does the work. Also Chad Minay. Now, one of them went. And Polik Zuzi Belay Daita De Chavri. So he went, the worker went, and he split the monies without the consent and awareness of his friend. And then he went and reinvested that money again to do an Iska. And now what he did was, besides taking half that he split, he then went and took half of his friend's half, because now he did an iska again. So Asla Kamidra Papa, so he came in front of Reb Papa, the other partner, who was saying, no, how is he taking three quarters? It was only take half. Who asked him to split it and then invest the money again and take half of that half? It was supposed to be 50-50 all along, not 75-25. So Amalei, Reb Papa says to him, no, my nafkamina, what's the difference? What do you think that you needed any awareness? Hacham Rav Nachman, this is what Rav Nachman says. Zuzi command de pligi damo. Money is as if it's already split. Meaning to say that you don't need to have an assessment to allow the worker to split it, which he is allowed to split it, and to need your awareness, your consent to say, okay, that's a good split, okay, fine, and then he'll do work for you again, and then he'll get half of your half because he's doing this and that. He doesn't need your awareness because money doesn't need to be assessed. It's money. Now, what happened is, but this guy didn't realize the logic behind this. Lashana, the next year, Zavin Chamer Bahadi Adadi. So again, they purchased wine together. They again went into a partnership. Kamidach, now the other guy went, and Poligle Bolidai to the Chavre. He went now, and he split the wine without his friend's awareness, and then he went and took his half, reinvested his friend's half, and now he wanted to take 75% because he already took 50%. Now he wants 50% of his friend's 50% because he didn't iska with it now. So Asla Kamid Rav Papa, they came in front of Rav Papa. Amalei, so he said to him, Man Plaglach, who split it for you? Who assessed it? Who gave you the right to go ahead and split it? You can't get now 75%. You're only going to get 50%. So Amalei, so that guy said to Rav Papa, he says, Kachazina, I see, the basa didika asimah, you're coming after me. What is this? This is a double standard. Last year, you go ahead and you let him do that. Now this year, you don't let me? This is troubling. So Amar Papa said, as he continued to Amad Beis, Kahai Gavna Vade Tzarech Lardoya. Such a situation, he says, I definitely have to notify him and tell him what he's missing. What's the logic of my rulings? Now, because as Tesa points out, only over here he had to do it because there seemed to be an opening for that claimant to have a complaint and suspect Rav Papa. And that's to fulfill the pasuk. Gebisin Nikim Mashem Yisrael. You have to be clean in the eyes of people. But in general, you don't have to notify, and you're not supposed to notify the people what's the reasoning why you came to that conclusion. But Rav Papa said, this situation, I have to explain to him what he's missing. He says, Zuzi, regarding monies, Mi shakol tavi b'shavik chasri, is it possible when you have partners for someone to take the good ones and leave the bad ones? So Amalei lo, he says, no, money is money, it's all the same. Amalei said to him, Chamra, what's with wine? Kul ama yadi, everybody knows, the ikka de basim, the ikka de loy basim, that there is better wine, more aromatic, better wine, and not such good wine. So he says, that's the difference. You split for wine. Wine has to be assessed beforehand. Only then could it be that it was a definite split, and then you could go ahead and did what you did. Therefore, it's not you. It's like you didn't split it, and it's still going to be 50-50. Your partner, the previous year, did it with money. Money, it's all the same, and therefore it doesn't make a difference. That's why he was allowed to split. And when he reinvested, it was a new isk, and that's why he got 75%, and you got 25%. Now, Gufa, however, the Gemara qualifies this halacha that we just mentioned. Amar Rav Nachman, he says, Zuzi kemand de pligidamel, as we said. Money is like it's already split. Doesn't have to be evaluated. But, however, what the Gemara is coming to qualify now is that there are different types of coins. There are coins that are very light in weight, but the image that's on them is a coin that's more easily used as currency. And those are the coins that are called taif, because they're better. People like using them better, more than other images on certain coins, which are heavier, but the image is not so good. Now, then there are those coins that are heavier, and there are those who like those coins better, because they need to use them for their weights. Now, therefore, as follows. Says the Gemara, Hanimili Tavi V'Tavi. When did we say, Rav Nachman's Halacha, that money, there's no need for assessing, it's all the same, is when they're both good coins, meaning, as we said, good means that they both are the easily used currency type of a coin. Or they're both Tikuli V'Tikuli. They're both these weighted, heavy-weighted coins. Then you say it's as if they're split because you can't say that he left the bad ones and took the good ones. Aval, but says the Gemara, Tavi Vitikule, let's say he took the good coins and left the heavy weighted ones, or he took the weighted ones and left the good ones. Then you won't say it because then you have to assess it, because some people would prefer one over the other, and it's not fair. You have to assess it first, and then you could split it, and therefore it's not across the board with money. It's when it's the same type of the money, then there's no need of assessing, and then it's considered like a split, and then one could do it even without the awareness of his partner. Now the Gemara continues in a related discussion, again, regarding the difference between money and other objects. Rav Chama have a meiger zuzi bepshita beyemer. Rav Chama would rent money for a pshita per day. Now, the significance of this is that he would use the terminology of a rental. He wouldn't say it's a loan. He would say, I'm going to rent you a zuz today for a pashat, which is a zuz medina, which is an eighth of a tsuri, of the Tyrian currency. So he would say he's renting the money. Says the Gemara, Koli zuzid Rav Chama, Rav Chama's money was ultimately all lost. As the Gemara tells us later on, the Ayin Aleph and Aleph, that those who lend them money with ribbis, they lose all their assets. Now the Gemara explains, Havasavar, Rav Chama, he had thought that Maishna Meimara, why is money different than a hoe, than a spade? He says, I'm allowed to rent my utensils, and therefore I'm allowed to rent my money too. And says the Gemara, but vallahi, it's not the case, for two reasons. First of all, Mara Hajj Be'ena, a vessel, a tool, it itself is returned as it is. Now, in contrast, and therefore, it's not like a loan, which is it's evaluated like money. And moreover, someone that rents a kli, he doesn't have a responsibility, any liability if an einus happens or if it breaks because of the work that he's doing it. And therefore, when he pays to the one who rented it to him, that's not considered ribbis. Moreover, v'yedia pichse, it's recognizable that if, let's say, he's working with this spade and he gets a dent somewhere, you could tell that it got ruined because of the work that he's doing. And therefore, the pay is a pay for the depreciation, the value of the tool that he rented. Whereas zuzi, loy haja be'einayu, now in contrast, regarding a loan, by money, the money itself is not given back to the one that, call it rented, call it loaned the money, because the money is given for him to spend it. Therefore, he has liability and responsibility. No matter what happens to the money, it was already his. He owes the money now automatically. The second he gets the loan, it's a debt. Now, so therefore, if he's going to pay him for that loan, that's going to be ribbis. Because although he's using the terminology of a rental, automatically it's like a loan, which is that you have liability no matter what happens. Moreover, even if he gives back the actual money that he borrowed, but v'loyidia pichse, there's no recognizable deficiency in money. The money is the same money. And therefore, the pay that he's giving is for nothing, is for free, which is considered ribbis on the loan. And therefore, it was problematic. It wasn't renting money, it was loaning money. And therefore, he lost all his money. Now, however, Amar Rava, Rava does say that there are situations that are permitted. They're not actual ribbis, in contrast to the previous case, which actually looked like it wasn't ribbis, but it is ribbis. He says, Shari leila inish lemeim leila chavri. A person is allowed to tell his friend, Hey lech dalit zuzi, I'm giving you a gift, or four zuz, v'isvi leplan yezuzi, but I want you to lend that guy a zuz. Meaning, I want you to lend him money. Says the Gemara, the reason why that's permitted is, loy astra toire ele ribbis haba miloy v'lamalva. Ribbis is only forbidden if it's money from the borrower to the lender. Here, although the guy was lending money, is not only going to get back the money that he lent, but he's also getting a quote, a gift to give the loan, which would be ribbis if it was coming from the borrower. Here, since it's not coming from the borrower, it's coming from somebody else who say, here, take some money, I want you to lend this guy money. That's okay, because it's not from the borrower to the lender. Also, v'amar Rav, another halacha from Rav on this topic, is that shari le inish le'im le'chavi, a person is allowed to tell his friend, shakalach arba zuzi, here, take these four zuzim, v'amar le leploini le'asven zuzi, I'm giving you a gift of four zuz. Now tell that guy to give me a loan. Now, my time, why is that permitted? Similarly, here the borrower is giving more money than what he's borrowing. It's because schar mirka shakal. The guy, this middle guy that he's getting protection from, that he's getting to influence the lender to give it to him, is not taking ribbis. It's not on the loan. He's getting paid for his influence, for his words. Kel the Abba Mar Bereder Papa that had the same thing. Have a shakal ugna de kiri. He would take these wax honeycombs from in small vessels that were round like a disc, and that's why it's called ugna de kiri. He would take these cakes of wax. He would take it mikiroi from those who would sell the wax. Now, so he took these gifts from them. And he would tell his father, lend that guy money. So the rabbi said to Rav Papa, Achol Berei Demar Revisa, the son of the master is eating ribbis. Because here the borrowers are giving money for loans. Your son is taking gifts for the loan. So Amalui said to them, Kol ki hai ribisa nechel. That type of, quote, ribis, you're allowed to eat. You're allowed to take. Because lo asa teri ala ribis abo me lebe la malva. Ribis was only that it would go from the borrower to the lender. Hacha schar mir kashakal v'shari. Here, what my son is taking is for his influence, for his words. He's getting paid for a service that he's doing. He's not the lender. He's just going and telling me what to do. Therefore, that's permitted, and that's not problematic for ribis. Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding the halachas of an iska, which we said that although regarding the 50-50, that's really permitted, because although all the money is coming from one person and he's getting profit back, which would seemingly be a loan, it's not the case because he's getting his profits are coming from his 50%, which is just deposited by the worker, and the other 50%, which is what the worker is taking, is from his money, which is a loan. Problem is, as we said, but then there's the work that he's doing for the other 50% of the owner. That is what has to be covered. So that's what our Mishnah addresses that to. Shamin para, a person could assess for an iska a large cow or v'chamor or a large donkey, which are fit to do work, and their work is going to be totally utilized by the recipient of the money, by the worker, or v'chaldavishu eisavoichel, or any type of thing which not only does it eat, it also works. So it gives something back to the one that's using the animal or the object. You could do and evaluate lamechza for this, what we call an iska, to split the profits in the value of the animal or in the children 50-50. Because again, he's getting compensated for the work that he does by the utility of the animal itself. Says the Mishnah, Makom shenogu lachlik es avlodis miyad. If it's a place where their custom is that they split the children, which we said that's part of the procedure, that they split 50-50. Moreover, they split it immediately, so that when the time comes, when the child's there, which is, let's say we said, by the small animals are 30 days, or by the large animals are 50 days, then chalkin, then right away after those 30 days, then they split it, and the worker doesn't have to take care of those children which belong to the owner. But, says the Mishnah, as we quoted this on Amud Aleph, which Abaye had told them, Mokim Shenogu Legal, but if it's a place where the custom is that the worker does bring up even the half of the children of the animal that is owned by the owner, then Yagdila, then he has to bring it up even without taking any shares in that owner's part. It's not like an iska in that too. Pshim Malil Aimer, he says, Shaman Egel Im Ima, you could assess a calf with its mother, and Vishyach Im Imai, and the colt with its mother. In other words, and you don't have to give any payment for the effort and for the food that he's giving for the calf, as we said in the previous stuff, rather for the mother, because the child follows around its mother, and you only have to take care of the mother. Automatically, the child will be taken care of with that, even if you're not paying for the work that the worker is doing for the child, and even though normally you would pay him for that work. So says the Mishnah, U'mafriz al sadehum. Mafra is the term of expansion and large, making it larger. So what it's saying is that a lender could increase the rent of his field that he's charging the borrower, who is also the guy who, meaning someone who's borrowing money from him, who additionally rents a field from him. He can increase the amount of the rent of the field. And you don't have to be concerned for the problem of ribis, because essentially he's lending him money. Now that you're not charged for. But very coincidentally, the moment that he gave him the loan, he increased the rent on the field. Says the Mishnah, that's not problematic. That you could do, and there's no concern for ribis. Now the Gemara explains, talking about when the Brice were going this last halacha. Mafras al sadeu, the Mishnah said that you could increase the price of the rent for the field. Ve'enachayishim mishum ribis, you don't have to be concerned that it's ribis on the loan that you gave him. Says the Brice, Ketzat. What's the case talking about? Hasichres asadim echaveh, if someone rents a field from his friend, Ba'asar kurim chitim l'shana. He pays him 10 kur, which is a certain amount of wheat per year. Now, when did we say that now with a loan you could now expand the amount of the rent? Normally you can't. It would be problematic. It would look like ribis. The price explained, when was the case that we said you could be mafres al sadeu? Is va'imerlai. Now, the renter tells the owner of the field, look, ten li masayim zuz. Lend me 200 zuz, but you know what I'm going to do with the money? I'm going to use it for expenses for the field, to fertilize, for the reaping, for the planting, for the plowing, va'afarnasena, and I'll use it to provide for all the needs of the field. Now, va'ani elacha, now what I'll do for you is, I mean, I know you don't want to part with your money so easy, but I know you can't charge for a loan. What I'll do, I'll increase the lease from 10 up to shnei masakurin, to 12 kur of wheat, l'shana, per the year.
And additionally, I'll give you back the money that you're lending me. Says the Braisa, that's what the Mishnah was told about when it said mutter, that it's permitted, and that's not considered ribis for the pay for the money that he's lending him. Rather, it's because he's leasing now a better field. Because now that he's investing money that he's lending from the owner, he's making a better field, and therefore the price of the lease of a good field goes up more than a poor field for the value of the 200 zuz and the 2 kor of wheat that he's giving him more per year. And that's what the Mishnah says is permitted. Aval, but says the Braisa, ein mafritz, but you can't do this, what we said in the Mishnah, to increase the amount of the rent. You could do it for a field where you're reinvesting into the field, but you cannot do that loyal chanos, not for a store, v'loyal sfina, and not for a ship. So if, let's say someone is renting for somebody a shop or a ship, you're not allowed to borrow from that owner money to acquire fruits to sell in the store or merchandise to transport on the ship, and then you'll increase the amount of the rent that you're renting from him for the ship or for the store. And the reason for that is because here it's different. Because since here, what you're investing into the shop is not in the actual store or the ship itself, rather he's using it to buy things that he can then gain by selling in the ship, through the ship or through the store. So that increase of the rent would not be for the ship or the store itself. It would obviously be for the money that he lent him. Therefore, that would be a problem about ribis. In contrast to the case we said before, where it is really an increase in the rent. It makes sense because he's reinvesting into the field, and now it's a more expensive field, and therefore he could charge him more for the rental of the field, and that's how he can get money off the loan, because it really is a rental, a higher rental. In contrast over here, where the store is the same store, he just needs products to sell in the store, to transport in the ship, that you can't justify by rationalizing to charge more now for the ship when it's not even any better because of what you lent him to be able to buy merchandise to have in the store or in the ship. But Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rabbi Barbu, he says, Pamim Shemafis Alchanus. There are times that even in the ship and the store that you could increase the rent because of the money that you lent him. How could you increase the rent on the store? Is if he's borrowing the money, lots about Tzura, to paint pictures in the store. So it is for him to reinvest into the actual store, where now it's a nicer store, or Sfina, or in a ship, is Lasis Lo Iskariot, that he wants to make a mast, a better sail for the ship. So as the Gemara explains, Chanos Lo Tzabot Tzuras, regarding the store, to paint a picture where he's expending the money in the store itself so that it should be a nicer store, that's because everybody runs to go and buy food in such a store. Everyone desires a beautiful atmosphere in a new store. And therefore the rent is more expensive. So he could charge more rent because of the loan, which is being reinvested into the store, which is now more expensive. So to a Svina ship, Lasas Lo Iskariya, to go ahead and make a sale or any other additions or in making better in the ship itself, that Kivin the Shapira is Iskari Tvei, since the mast is better, se Igra Tvei, so yes, the rent of the ship could be more now, and therefore for that loan of money, he actually could give him back, not just the money that he borrowed from him, but even more as an increase in the rent of the ship or the store. Now the Gemara continues with a related discussion that we were talking about Svinta regarding a ship, and we're talking about the rental of it. So Amar Rav, he says, regarding a ship, there's the Agra, there's the rent, Upagra, and also he's allowed to rent it to him that if it breaks, he's gonna have to pay, the renter is gonna have to pay for the damages done to the ship itself. Now, on that halacha of Rav, Amulei Rav Kana, Rav Asi, Rav, they both said to Rav, we don't understand. Iagra loipagra, if he's paying him rent, so then he's not allowed to go ahead and claim from him the amount of damages that happened to the object. Because a renter is exempt from einzin, doesn't pay for damages that are normal damages that come with the wear and tear or einus that happens to the object that he's renting. And ipagra loyagra. And if he has to pay for the damages, so then you're not allowed to charge him for the rent. In other words, because since you're evaluating the actual value, that if anything breaks, he has to pay that money, that essentially means to say that it's a milva by him. A loan is something right away you take to borrow the money, you gotta pay exactly that amount of money back. In contrast to a rental, that you don't give back exactly what it was worth. We know that it's not gonna be worth as much. Every time someone uses that tool again and again, it gets a little bit less of value. So therefore, if you're saying he has to pay the damages, ultimately that means to say you're treating what you're giving him, this ship, as a loan, which a loan is you have all responsibility. So if it's a loan, so then how could he also pay rent rent is essentially ribis. It's an interest. It's an increase in what you lent him. You lent him, it was a milva, a ship. He's paying back more money than the ship is giving you back. How can you do that? Either one or the other. You can't have both. So the Gemara tells the Shasak Rav. Rav is silent. That asks the Gemara, Amar Rav Sheshet, says, my time is Shasak Rav. Why was Rav silent? Rav is correct. Lo Yishmilei Hadetani, didn't he hear this that we learned in the Braisa? The Braisa says as follows. Although that they said they did not accept the operation of the iron sheep from a Jewish person. Now, iron sheep is a type of an iska that a person accepts from his friend that they're going to go ahead and go and split it 50-50. But additionally, the recipient accepts all liability for the principal. And that if the animal dies, the loss is totally the worker's. If it gets lost, it's totally his loss. But the profits, they're still going to split 50-50. And then that's considered tzoin barzel. It's an iron sheep because it's hard like iron because the owner is guaranteed nothing. He's not going to have any loss whatsoever. Usually by regular iska, okay, they split half the profits, but they split half the loss. Here, he has no loss. So that is problematic because of ribis, because he's giving and not accepting a responsibility. He's getting back more than what he gave. It's like a total milva to the worker. Now Rashi just points out that since most of those people that would do these types of tzoin barzel types of transactions, since they would do it with small animals, that's why they called it tzoin. But it's the concept of being barzel for the one that gives the financier who gives the money. So you can't do that with a Jew. Av makabim tzoin barzel menachim, but you could do this tzoin barzel procedure with a non-Jew because you could do a halva with ribis with a non-Jew. Aval amr, but they said, although you can't do tzoin barzel with a Jew, but hasham par lechaver, if someone assessed a cow to his friend, and then he rented it to him. Vamalei, and he says to him, Ari parascha su yalai b'shleshem dinu. Now the renter tells to the owner, says, if I don't end up returning this animal to you, we're assessing its value at 30 dinar. I'm going to pay you back for that. And moreover, vani elacha, I'm going to also give you for the rental that I'm using it to plow, I'm going to pay you a sella b'chedesh, a sella for every single month. Says the Braisa, mutter, that's permitted, and it's not considered a problem about ribis, as the Gemara explains, lefishaloi asa damim, because he didn't evaluate it in an assessment of money. Which the Gemara says, valoi asa? The Gemara says, well, he didn't. Didn't we just say that he is evaluating it? Which seemingly that means to say he's taking full responsibility, which we said that makes like a milva. If you make it like a milva, then you can't give back more than what you took. So how is he paying rent? That should be ribis. On that, Rav Sheshet says, and this is what's going to prove the halacha of Rav, so therefore, why was he silent? Lo yasa damim mechaim. What it means to say is that he didn't evaluate it for its worth when it was still alive, meaning there's two ways that the object could lose value. Either when it's alive, which is the market value, goes down. And instead of being worth 30, it could go down to being worth 20. For that he didn't accept responsibility, that he's not going to pay. Elala Hamisa, the only responsibility that he took for it in totality was after it dies. Meaning if it dies or if it breaks, that's the responsibility that he took for him. That's why, so what we see from that Bryce is that as long as he didn't accept responsibility for everything, including the depreciation of the value, then it's not considered a total achrayas to be considered as a milva. Rather, it's going to be considered as a rental. And that's why it's permitted for the person to go ahead and pay, even though he's taking full responsibility if it dies, but since if it's not going to die, he's not taking full responsibility, even if it goes down in value. So it's not like a loan, rather it's like a rental, and therefore he could pay him for the rental. So therefore, says Rav Sheshet, that's the same thing regarding Rav's case of the ship, since although he took responsibility, if what's called pagra, if it's going to break, then he has to pay it, but if it just depreciates in value, suddenly ships are not in demand anymore, it goes down in value, that he's not going to have to compensate him for. Well, that's not like a milva. Milva, exactly what it was worth when you took that amount of money, you have to give back that amount. So it's not like a milva, but there's no problem about giving besides the pagra, or is he giving the agar, which is the rent, because it's like a rental, not like a loan. Now Amar Papa, he concludes, he says, Hilchas Adalocha is like Rav said, Svina agar upagra. Regarding the rental of a ship, you could give the rent, and also it, the damages for the renter to have to pay that too. And as a continued type of Ainim and Aleph, Venogu b'nei Kufra. Now the custom of the owners of the ships, and they're called b'nei Kufra because they would tar the ships with pitch, which is what Kufra is, that their custom was that agar b'shas meshicha, They would take the rent at the time when the renter would take the ship in the first place. So the rent was given up front. Now, even though they took rent, still they would give pagar b'shas shvira. If it would break, then the renter would give also the amount of the damages too. Now that the Gemara asks, atu b'minhag talya milsa. What do you mean when you say that their custom was to do this? Do you think this halacha depends on custom? In other words, the Gemara's question is, how could we let the owners of the ships take rent, since ultimately, when it breaks, then they're going to take the payment of the break? Now, as we said before, if they're going to take payment for the break, a renter doesn't pay for it if it breaks. Only a guy who takes a loan takes it if it breaks. So it comes out that the borrower, acquired the whole thing like a loan. So then the rent is going to turn out to be ribis. Now the Gemara says, no, mishum d'masnita tanya min haga, because this custom was taught in the Braisa that we just mentioned before, that it's permitted. Like we said, because, as Rav Shesha explained, because shalei asa dami mechayim. It's only after what we call misa, after it dies, or like in this case of the ship, after it breaks, that's what he's taking responsibility for, but not for zila if it just goes down in value. Therefore, it's not like a loan, rather it's like a rental. And that's the source for their minig, which was that they are allowed to take both the rent and the damages, because it's like a rental. So although a rental, you don't usually pay for the damages, but since here in this case, the damages is only if it actually breaks, but not for depreciation, so it's neither like a loan, and therefore you're allowed to take both the damages if they, that, because that's the responsibility that they have for the ships and for the rental too.